We are back. Welcome to another installment of It's About Time, a DC Sports podcast. I am Nate, and that's Josh.
I'm Josh. Last time I checked.
Last time you checked. It is Thursday, November 29th. We are sorry that we are a little bit later this week. Both of our work schedules actually made it a little bit difficult to record on our normal day, so we are here recording on a Thursday. Doesn't really matter. The Redskins play Monday night. Dallas plays tonight. They play Saints tonight, and that's actually pretty big game for the Redskins to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously know the Cowboys are going to win tonight, right?
I don't know that. Are they going to?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay. What's the line on that? Do we know?
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah, that seems a little low to me.
Is it in New Orleans?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Either way, seven does seem low. So, yeah, Dallas is going to at least cover.
Oh, yeah. Probably win.
Yeah, probably win outright. Before we get started, a reminder, we are affiliated with the DMVSportsNetwork.com. That is the DMVSportsNetwork.com. They can be reached on Twitter at DMV_SN. They release a podcast a day. We are one of them. They also have a lot of written content on their website regarding all things DC sports, so please check them out, DMVSportsNetwork.com, and on Twitter at DMV_SN. So we are a week removed from the Redskins losing on Thanksgiving, 31-23. We're not going to break down the game too much. It's been a week. And to be honest, this week has felt like, for the Redskins, it's felt like a lot longer than a week because, they signed Reuben Foster, or they claimed Reuben Foster on waivers. I think Josh and I have differing opinions on that. Actually, let's start with that. How do you feel about the Reuben Foster claim?
I'm completely indifferent to it. They wanted him in the draft. They finally got him. So I could care less.
Domestic violence thing doesn't bother you?
Nah, whatever.
He's been arrested three times this year?
As I said earlier in the week, are we kicking Adrian Peterson off the team too?
That's a good point. I actually had this theory. I thought maybe you'd be interested. Because actually it came out, I think, yesterday. The Redskins, in their statement, said that his former Alabama teammates vouched for him, and then Jonathan Allen and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix came out and said they weren't consulted before the claim. Here's why I think the Redskins did it. He's a good football player, very good football player, and he's cheap salary-wise. I don't think they have any expectation that he's going to play this year. How can you? I mean, I think he's going to probably be suspended or at least on the commissioner's exempt list.
Right, which he's on now.
Which he's on now for the rest of the year. My feeling is this. If the Redskins... You said it earlier in the week to me in a text message, and at the time I didn't agree with you, but then I thought about it. You said it's a low-risk move for the Redskins.
Yeah.
It is, and here's why it's a low risk. It's not a low-risk move in general because they're getting hammered PR-wise. But the Redskins' reputation really couldn't be worse. Front office-wise, the team name is considered to be racist. Q rating is as low as it can get, right? So why not take this on? It can't get worse the way people think about you. So why not take it on? Because if it works out and he's either exonerated of charges, not exonerated, he's cleared of all charges or whatever, he serves a suspension and then you get a good football player for the cost of nothing. And that's the way they're looking at it. They're like, well, who cares what the PR stuff? Our PR is garbage anyway. I mean, that makes sense, right? And that's probably what Bruce Allen was thinking. He's like, how much worse can it get? People aren't coming to our games. We're hated nationally. What's the difference?
Are we hated nationally, though? That's just more of that fake outcry.
Probably. I don't think the name is as big of a... I don't think it's as big of a deal nationally as it was here for a while, but it's not even a big deal here now.
I don't ever think it was a big deal.
No, it was one columnist, Mike Wise, who was with the Washington Post, who's now not even in sports media anymore.
Right.
The one thing I thought was a little bad taste when we were at the game a week and a half ago, they did the Native American heritage.
Why
thing.
Even why bring it up?
Me?
No. I mean, like, why?
That's what
why,
I'm saying.
Just,
it's stupid.
Move on.
But they're still trying to like rub it in the faces. I don't know. They're trying to claim that they're honoring Native American history.
They did do a good job of modeling the logo after that guy.
They did do that, yeah. And they
also the Buffalo Nickel.
Sure.
Same head.
All right. We're spiraling. Let's move on. The Redskins did lose 31-23 to Dallas. Game was close until, halfway through the third quarter. And then Amari Cooper decided to just go nuts, really. He caught a 40-yard pass for a touchdown in the third, and then like 4 minutes later caught a 90-yard pass. Horrible defense there.
No tackling.
That made the score 31-13. The Redskins didn't give up any points in the – or no, I take that back. They gave up a touchdown at the very beginning of the fourth, but then they didn't get any points at the end. After that, Redskins tried to claw back, and it didn't work. Any thoughts overall on the game? Like, how do you think Colt played?
Shitty.
Yes, very shitty. Anything to the fact that he had no real practices?
I don't care. I don't believe that.
He's been with the team for how long, right? Yeah. I mean, he's been with the team like 5-6 years. He's supposed to know the offense backwards and forwards.
Right, and also, he should have been thrown to most of these people considering they were on the scout team prior to them actually playing for the Redskins.
That's a good point. He looked terrible. He really did. He did not look good. He was 24 of 38, 268, but three picks, and that's what Alex didn't do all year. And you know what? If you take those three picks out of it, they may have won the game.
Right.
You know, the Redskins' defense was beating themselves up. They gave up 400 yards of offense. But the Redskins' offense didn't do them any favors. I mean, Dallas dominated the time of possession, 33 minutes to 26. Dominated it. It just was a terrible game. And the score made it look a lot closer than it was. It was not a one-score game.
No.
In the second half.
No, it definitely wasn't.
No running game, really. I mean, Adrian had 12 carries for 35 yards. The offense is just in shambles. And Trent was back. But then leaves at the end of the game. Did you hear about this? Had to be taken to the hospital in an ambulance. Apparently,
broken
he
rib.
Was broken. Is that what it was?
Or they were checking for a broken rib,
right? And it turned out he was just like dehydrated. Yeah, something. That's like
super weird.
Yeah, I don't really believe that story 100%.
Is there anyone tougher than offensive linemen?
No, especially Trent Williams. I mean, that dude plays here. Morgan Moses too. The two of them.
Oh, torn ACL. We'll just trot you back out there.
He played on two. Moses played on two bad ankles last year. It's
crazy.
So the game ends. The Redskins and Dallas are tied at 6-5 atop the NFC East. The Redskins still control their own destiny.
But if you listen to any sports center or anything, the Cowboys are in first place.
If you watch the pregame on Fox, they kept talking about Dallas wins. They're in first place, and I was going, they're tied for first place. Like, they're totally dismissing the Redskins. It's nauseating. Like, Cowboys win, what, three games?
I mean, the Redskins are terrible.
They are, but
the Cowboys are terrible, too.
Right. Cowboys win three games, and people are falling over themselves trying to talk about, oh, they're back. Amari Cooper trade was a game changer. I'm like, come on, man. Like, don't do that.
Hey, man, we'd make Blake Bortles look good.
We would.
And maybe we'll get the opportunity. Actually, he's benched, but.
And what happens if the Cowboys lose tonight and the Redskins win Monday night? And
then
their
the
game
Cowboys are still in the first place.
How?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. A little voodoo mind trick there. So let me ask you this, right? So the Cowboys and Redskins are at 6-5. The Eagles are at 5-6. There is a nightmare scenario where the Cowboys lose tonight, Eagles win Monday night, and then you have a three-way tie at 6-6 atop the NFC East. Easy question. In your mind right now, who's the best team in the NFC East?
The best of the worst is probably the Cowboys.
Yeah. Their defense looked good.
Yeah.
That kid, was it Leighton Vander Esch?
Yeah.
Kid can play.
Yep.
They were getting pretty consistent pressure on Colt. Yeah, I mean, with Ezekiel Elliott and with he had 26 carries for 121. He had a big day. With the addition of Amari Cooper, who certainly gives him an outside weapon and allows, I think it was, might have been Troy Aikman, during the broadcast said that the one thing Amari Cooper allows is that Cole Beasley is no longer the number one target. He can act
move
like
back
a second
in the slot.
Yeah. Right. So he allows people to go back into roles that they're more comfortable in. It's a shame the Redskins don't get to face the Cowboys again. But the Cowboys' schedule the rest of the way is not really the Redskins' schedule is pretty favorable. I mean, they still have Tennessee on their schedule. Tennessee's not great. Jacksonville's falling apart. You still have the Eagles again. And the Giants, who won a couple games and then they lost last week at a tough – they let Philly come back. I think you're probably right. I think the Cowboys are probably the best team in the East. I still think there's a chance the Redskins win the East, though.
There's a chance the Giants win the East.
Is there?
I mean, they have to win out, obviously.
And a lot of...
Everybody has to lose every other game.
Okay, just...
I mean, there's just... What a garbage division.
Right. I mean, if you look at the Cowboys' schedule, their next three games are not easy. It's the Saints, Eagles, Colts. And the Colts are looking like a really good team now. I mean, not a really good team, but a good team.
Yeah, I mean, what's that? Five consecutive games of three touchdowns passes?
Yeah, I mean, Luck's looking like...
the best... better than he ever looked.
Right, he's looking like one of the best quarterbacks in football, which everybody thought he would be before he got hurt. He's having a nice season. Yeah, they've won five in a row, the Colts, by the way. Five in a row. But going back to the Cowboys, I mean, their schedule is not a cakewalk. You look at the Eagles and their schedule. They obviously have us Monday night, and then they play Dallas. And they still have the Rams in L.A. and then the Texans at home. So their schedule...
We have the easiest schedule.
By far.
I mean, this should tell you just, like, one silver lining, and you know I'm never optimistic about stuff.
That's true.
Is we're having this conversation, and half the Redskins are hurt. That's how bad Dallas... Like, that's how not good Dallas is.
Right.
And we're talking about the Redskins being a bad football team currently. Like, that's Dallas at full strength. They're not that good of a football team.
They're not. And
whatever's going on in Philadelphia, you know, their secondary has been decimated by injuries.
What did you say about Carson? You texted me something about Carson Wentz.
The reports came out that said that he's not fully healed. And that's why he's not, apparently in practice, he's not throwing, like putting weight on it.
So why is he playing? Weird,
right. That's basically what the end game of the report was. Because who knows if it was true or not.
But Foles is healthy, right?
I mean, he was terrible at the beginning of the year.
He was. I mean, I think he played the best football he'll ever play.
Should have cashed in on the season.
Yeah. He pulled the Flacco. And he didn't cash in. I mean, he's making plenty of money. But
he doesn't care. He didn't even want to play football. He's just out there surfing, bro.
God, that's like the 19th time you've said that this year about him. It's funny. I mean, I don't think it's funny, but it's funny.
Well, the two listeners we have might think it's funny.
Slightly more than two.
All right, sorry, four.
So going into this game, the Redskins' defense has really regressed, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think just people have figured out you just throw the ball, and throwing the ball opens up the run.
Yeah, I mean, the front seven has still been pretty good.
They're getting pressure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if there's more than 3 seconds, somebody's definitely going to be open that you or I could hit with a pass.
Right, and even HaHa Clinton Dix admitted he had a terrible game against Dallas.
He doesn't look good.
No, I don't think he knows the defense that well yet, and I don't know if he's a great fit. It was an interesting... I was really excited when they got him, but I don't know how well he's fitting in. I don't know. I'm not an X's and O's guy. I can't speak to that. But the Redskins' passing defense has slid considerably over the last few games. They are now giving up the 10th most yards in the air per game, 260.9. Not great.
I can't stand watching Fabian Moreau out there. Quentin Dunbar is like very obviously hurt.
Yep.
Won't like that.
He's trying to gut it out.
Right, but he can't. He can't even tackle. He can't like that touchdown pass to Amari Cooper, the first one.
The 40-yarder where he pretty much just fell down. Yeah.
That was garbage.
So,
yeah.
You think we have any chance to win on Monday night?
It's a coin flip, right?
I think it is a coin flip. It's in Philly.
I think Josh Adams probably runs for 170 yards. That's the thing that, like, what a bizarre coaching choice. That guy's averaging, the only two people that are averaging more yards than him, I think, are Todd Gurley and maybe Melvin Gordon or something per carry.
Sounds about right. I haven't looked it up, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 5.9 yards a carry or something, and they finally decided to make him a feature back. That could be really bad news for the Redskins.
Yeah, and I think they're going to start to continue to get Golden Tate more and more into the offense. Their offense will be able to score against the Redskins Monday night.
Oh, and nobody can cover. They basically took our playbook, and they have two elite tight ends.
Well, Zach Ertz is otherworldly at
times. And so is Gogurt.
And Gogurt's been great.
Sounds like yogurt.
Rhymes with Gogurt. Or yogurt rhymes, yeah. I think the Redskins can win. They're terrible in primetime. I think it's the biggest game of their season, and it it's a weird thing because in games like that, they usually don't perform. It's the biggest game of their season. They lose.
Oh, they're going to lose then.
They win. I think that they've got a better than 50% chance of winning the division because there just aren't enough games left. Philly's got a tough schedule. Dallas has a medium to tough schedule. The Redskins don't have a murderer's row schedule. And also, they would set Philly back two games, which with how many games left after that five, it's just not going to be – it'll be a tough row for them. But I don't think they win. I got to be honest. I don't think they win. Even with, 10 days or however many it was for Colt, I think what we saw is what he is. I think that's what Jay wants. I think Jay wants him to just throw the ball over the field. The problem is it doesn't work. It works when you have weapons. They don't have weapons.
Right. You have no one creating separation. No one's going to make a play on the ball.
Doxson saved him from a fourth interception against the Cowboys. He should have had four picks.
He did. Now, here's a question.
Okay.
That's really, really like obnoxiously Homer Skins fan. What's the deal with the officiating?
No, it's not homerish. It's proven.
I mean, we're talking. The NFL apologized 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks in a row.
Right, but so the Cowboys game, we lose that game anyway, right? But
oh yeah, because the Jordan Reed hit was under 2 minutes. They were already
down. They're gonna lose that game. But the game prior, you're talking that could be the difference between us making the playoffs and the Cowboys making the playoffs.
Absolutely right. The PI on Doxson and the phantom holding penalty on Norman that gave Houston a first down.
Right.
Absolutely right. It's been more than 2 weeks in a row though where the officiating has been very, very questionable. And it Santana Moss, I believe it was Moss or it might be Fred Smoot, one of the two, has come out and has said he believes that the NFL officials and probably the NFL are conspiring to make it harder for the Redskins to win football games. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Why though?
I don't think anybody likes Dan Snyder.
So then is that the whole no catch rule against Jerry Jones, the NFL conspiring against them?
I happen to think that Dan Snyder and Jerry Jones are two of the least liked owners in all football. Which is funny, they own two of the five most valuable franchises.
It'd be interesting to see how much the Skins are actually worth this year. Yeah. I would think that they took a huge hit.
Based on what their attendance is now, I would have to agree with you. I think a large part of their valuation has always been that they own their own stadium. But stadium's garbage. It depreciates every year.
Like stadium doesn't matter. It's the land that the stadium is on.
It's the land that's on. That's right. True.
That stadium's completely worthless.
But the land could be worth quite a bit. It's a lot of land.
It's going to pay for the new stadium, right. But which he won't pay for.
D.C. will pay for.
Yeah.
Or Northern Virginia.
Yeah, that Northern, would be so weird.
Oh, it'd be awful. It's not a homerish thing. I think there's no statistic that you can talk about, but it feels like big calls have gone against the Redskins when they shouldn't have. And the Redskins.
I mean, to end the game, the Texans game, it was so blatantly obvious.
Right.
I mean, do you just keep it in your pocket because you're like, oh, I don't want to change the outcome of this game? Because that would have. That's a chip shot.
But you did change the outcome of the game.
Right. By not doing that, you did.
I mean, exactly. Two different defenders made contact with Doxson.
The one raped him.
Yeah.
Right over the back of him. It was inside of him.
See, I would have articulated that at the end of the game, but I couldn't. I couldn't put a thought together.
I only had two beers inside the stadium. That's recorded. It's on there.
I know it is. Don't worry about that. I also couldn't get a cigar lit, according to your wife. I couldn't, actually.
No, the commentary of that was quite priceless.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they probably lose. I don't think it's going to be close.
Nah.
I think that they'll give up probably 30 plus, and I think they'll only score maybe 14 to 17. I'll probably go 34-14.
Yeah. Season's over?
Probably. It's sad to say, man. It was a fun first 10 weeks. They surprised us. They got lucky in a couple of games. They held on for dear life. The defense looked really otherworldly for a while, and then they've come back down to earth.
Yeah, they really went back to the regression, right?
They did. They're still a decent defense, but they need corners. They need secondary help. That's where the focus should be in the draft next year. Here's a question before we sign off on the Redskins. What do you do about quarterback? Alex Smith is not going to be available to start next year at the start of the season.
So I understand and get the Sanchez signing, but like I told you, or like I said last week, I think that
You could have brought in someone like Paxton Lynch just to see. You could have taken, you know, given a little test drive. I'm super excited, and I know we won't get him, but it'd be awesome to see Will Greer here. Like, yeah. Just get a real quarterback. I mean, watching, you watch that Rams Chiefs game, like, they're just.
They're playing a different sport.
A quarterback, a good quarterback is just, it's no amount of money. I mean, they deserve the money. They really are worth it. Like,
well, the second half of 2012, the RG3 boom, he made all the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Kirk Cousins, who is an above-average quarterback. He did win us some games. He did lose us some games. He looked great Sunday night against the Packers. For the Redskins, I think there's a better than 50% chance Alex Smith's career is over.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would just be like, hey, man, let's...
I think they're going to do an injury settlement, and I think he's going to be gone. I think he's 34 now. Starting next year, I believe he'll be 35. He won't be able to start next season. Theoretically, he won't be able to play again until he's 36. That is a long recovery. Who knows if he'll feel good about his leg, if he'll trust his leg. The Redskins, I think, need to start planning for the future in the draft with a quarterback. It's weird to say.
Here's what I really hope. I hope Colt plays better. So he can opt out, and we stop paying a backup quarterback, what is it, $8 million? Something ridiculous. He's making a ton of money as a backup.
Probably more. Go out and
get somebody like Bridgewater?
Bridgewater will be, yeah, why not? What's the harm? The guy before he blew out his leg in a horrific injury was starting to blossom in Minnesota.
Right, and actually as a passer too.
Right.
So, you know, tell him, hey, we don't need you to run. You know what? You know who also could be available? Flacco.
See, I said that to my buddy the other day. I said, I would take Flacco. With Jay Gruden, I think, could probably somewhat resurrect his career.
Andy Dalton?
Yeah. Dalton's done for the year, isn't he?
Yeah.
What happened? I didn't see the game. I don't know. He's out for the year, though.
Losing.
His mangina got hurt.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be options veteran-wise.
But yeah, you definitely draft. I think you got a second or third round pick.
Yeah.
Unless Will Greer or Herbert is available, I think you can wait on. I think there's no point in drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Was Mahomes a first round pick?
Yeah, but he was like late.
Yeah.
I mean, Baker Mayfield's good, but. To pass up on Barkley is idiotic.
Oh, I think they could have. I said this to you. They could have Baker at four, and drafted Barkley at one.
I don't think they could have. I think that he was. The word was proving that he's head and shoulders better than everyone else.
Yeah. And look at what their new offensive coordinator who came in mid-season is doing. It shows how important coaching is. It probably also shows how bad Hugh Jackson was in Cleveland.
I mean, that's absurd. He shouldn't. There's nothing better than him going to Cincinnati. You know what the plan is, right? Was if he impressed, to take over for Marvin Lewis. That was the original succession plan before he took the Browns job. Won three. He's like 3-33.
Yeah, he's not head coaching material. Is he? Is Marvin Lewis retiring at the end of the year? Is that the plan?
Yeah.
Colts contract this year is only for $2.8 million, but
For some reason, I thought it was...
No, he signed like a two-year, $10 million deal, I thought.
Yeah, so sorry for that fake news.
I don't know.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought it was a lot more, which would have been insane, so I'm glad I'm wrong.
Yeah, I thought it was more than that. Anyway, yeah, I think they got a draft. I would be... I'm being honest. I think there's a better chance than not that Alex Smith's career is over.
It's kind of it's a blessing in disguise.
It is. It depends on how much they have to pay out.
Who cares?
I mean, it could be like $50, $60 million.
Yeah, but how does that affect the cap? If it doesn't affect the cap, who cares?
Doesn't affect the cap, you're right. And the Redskins have plenty of
that liquid there's only cash. One person that affects, and I could care less about that.
Right, don't care about him at all. All right, I think that probably wraps the Redskins up. I think we both agree the season's probably over. The Redskins, their offense is just too decimated. Their offensive line is decimated. I mean, it sounds like Crowder's going to be back this week. Although Trey Quinn's
back.
CT will be back. Trey Quinn's look good, though.
It's good we have our backup quarterbacks. If I was Jay, I'd put them in before. I just want a Wildcat.
I put Trey Quinn at quarterback. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, or Jameson.
Jameson,
yeah. And then Trey. And then Mark Buttfumble Sanchez.
Mark Buttfumble Sanchez.
I mean, why not just go out and sign Kaepernick?
I was going to say that, but I didn't want you to jump down my throat. I think he'd be a great signing.
No, I think it's terrible. I mean, the guy, from a football standpoint, that's just stupid. He hasn't played football in 2 years.
I'm saying sign him in the offseason and give him a chance in training camp.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Again, the team's already a circus. What's it matter?
Oh, I don't care about that. Oh, are you kidding me? That would be a huge PR win.
It would be.
100%. Like, that makes way more sense than the signing the wife beater or woman beater or whatever. Possibly.
Scratch yourself, Ty. Does that feel good? Yeah, shake it off.
That's weird. Don't talk to my dog like that.
All right, let's move on to... you want to talk basketball?
Sure.
The Wizards. What, Josh? What the hell is going on with the Wizards, man?
They did win 3 of 4.
They've looked better of late. There was a rumor that Bradley Beal wanted out.
They shut that. Him and his agent have shut that down, though.
They have. He said, if you haven't heard it from the horse's mouth, then it's not true.
Which they have to.
Well, yeah. They can't say that, what is it, 15, 20 games in the season, they're already demanding a trade. Although people would line up for Bradley Beal.
Oh, my God, yeah. Because he has a team-friendly contract. He's a shooter. Like, just get him out of there.
And he's not a locker room...
yeah, I would...
You like, hate John Wall, right?
Yeah, he's got to go. That guy, I mean, he's just as... He acts like a top 10 player, and he's maybe a top 40 player.
Right.
He's not... I mean, they're better... I enjoy them watching them more when Austin Rivers and Sato and Jeff Green are in the game. Like, their bench is more enjoyable to watch than trying to watch the dysfunctional starters.
Where's the defense, though?
They don't play defense.
They don't play defense at all. And the funny thing is, I think it was Candace Buckner, a writer for the Post. She said, this team individually are good defense. They're good defenders. What's happening where they're terrible team-wise?
They can't talk to each other. There's no communication. Right. There was an inbounds pass last night that they scored. Generally, after you score, you go back and play defense. They inbounded the ball and then found an open man under the basket, and he wasn't cherry-picking. He literally just ran down the court faster than everybody else. Like, that's absurd. People should just... What a shitty product.
Well, you told me the other night, at the end of regulation in the Houston game that went into overtime...
He stopped. He
John
stopped
Wall
playing.
Threw a temper tantrum,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He
I wasn't watching. Can you tell
about
me
about everything?
I wasn't watching. Can you tell me what happened?
He gets fouled. He does get fouled because he's so aggressive. He does get fouled a lot. But every time there's a no call, he just stops playing, throws his hands up, and bitches. Like, go down and play defense. And he's not a good enough free throw shooter to do that. It's weird. It's like it's one of the most bizarre things to watch. He'll drive in and have a relatively easy shot and then kick it out for some reason, which surprises the person. But then he'll try and throw up some insane layup and not be able to, like, get out of here. Go to Miami. Go to Phoenix. Do something.
You still like the idea of trading him to L.A.?
No, L.A. would never take him. If you get rid of Bradley Beal, commit to the rebuild.
Well, then it's complete teardown. Because with Dwight Howard's got to go out to L.A. now because he's got another injury.
He hurt his butt.
Yeah, again. So who knows when he'll be back, if he'll be back. He's been not what he did. I mean, his body's failing him, but he's been a bust signing so far.
His body, yes, but when he does play, he has been.
No, he has been, but yeah. He's not going to be on the court consistently enough to make a difference.
Right.
I think you have to tear it down now. I think you have to. Right?
But see, I think what's going to happen is you trade Beal and then you keep Wall. I think that's what they're going to do because it's a dysfunctional franchise, and then you're just stuck with being mediocre.
Why though? Can you tell me why?
Because that's what the Wizards will do.
I know.
It makes no sense. I can't tell you why, because no sane person would do it.
So let's parlay that into our almost weekly question. Why does Ernie Grunfeld still have a job?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not a stupid question. Like, the guy has been the general manager for 16 seasons. He's never made an Eastern Conference final. I think I read something the other day. Don't quote me on the exact... But if the Wizards won something like 120 consecutive games, they would still be under 500 in the Ernie Grunfeld era. That's how bad he's been since he's taken over as GM. He's long overdue to be fired. Why does he... The only explanation I have, and you tell me if I'm crazy or not, we have talked about this in the past, is that Leonsis just doesn't pay that close attention to basketball. And whoever he's got running the team, aside from Grunfeld, likes Ernie or doesn't give a damn.
Yeah. I mean, it's inexplicable.
I mean, the Wizards right now, it's funny, they're 8-13. They are ninth, so they're only, a game and a half out of the eighth seed.
Right, so they're going to claw their way, they're going to keep the band together, claw their way into the seventh, eighth seed, lose out in the first round. What's the point of that?
There is no point.
It's, you know.
There's no point behind it.
It's just the baseball. It's like they need to take the baseball mentality of the complete rebuild. Like, you can't be in, like, purgatory. You're either playing for a World Series, or you are 100% on a rebuild. You were the Astros in 2012. You were the Orioles in 2017. You have to commit to it.
You do, and you have to commit to it at the right time. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
What are they going to lose? Like, no one's going to the games anyway.
Yeah, it's so empty there, dude. It's
not going to matter who's out there.
You want to talk about a stark difference. You look at the crowds that go to Wizards games compared to the crowds that go to Caps games. Because they're in the same arena, it's just amazing the difference. I mean,
well, it's totally different vibes, too.
It is, but I think that the city would go crazy if the Wizards were good. I think it's a big basketball town. I mean,
absolutely.
You look at how the city was when the Hoyas were good in Georgetown, or when Maryland was winning a national title in, what, the 2000, 2001. The city embraces basketball. The Wizards have just been god-awful for so long. I mean, they haven't been relevant since, what, the late 70s?
Yes.
They weren't relevant in the Anton Jamison era, the Gilbert Arenas era, the Chris Webber, Juwan Howard era.
I mean, they were relevant because of, you know, guns in the locker room and stuff. They've just been a joke. They're a joke.
DC Sports is a joke. Yeah. I mean, aside from the Caps, and to a lesser extent, maybe the Nats, the Wizards and the Redskins are a joke, but the Wizards especially. I mean, well, the Redskins too. They're a joke.
Yeah. And I mean, so were the Capitals. Really?
They are now?
No, were.
They were. Yes, they were for a long time before Ovi. That's actually going to be, like, you know, they do BC and AD before Christ and after death. It's going to be BO before Ovi, and then AO. After Ovi. That's the Capitals' history.
Is it, though?
No, because they were pretty good in the late 80s, early 90s.
I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I know.
Okay.
But they got swept.
Yeah, your revisionist history isn't accurate.
I was just giving Alex Ovechkin a lot of credit. I mean, he made the franchise what it is now. The Rock the Red, sellouts.
I mean, it's a team sport. Backstrom. Carlson, yeah. Mike Green, Salmon.
I gotcha.
Okay. Just saying, you know, there's other
Fedorov. You get really condescending when you're talking Fedorov. Yeah, he's here for, like, what, two seasons?
No. He's here for, like, half a season.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, these are the guys that make the team. It's because you're not a real fan of any sport.
Any sport?
Maybe the Redskins. But you quit on them. You don't even know what FedEx was like anymore.
What about the Nationals? Ugh. Anyway,
Should we talk about them resigning Bryce? No.
We're going to go to the Caps first. But before we do that, we are affiliated with the DMVSportsNetwork.com. That is DMVSportsNetwork.com. They can be reached on Twitter at DMV_SN. They are always looking for people to create content for them, whether it's a podcast or written content, you know, a blog post about any of the DC sports that you want to talk about. So please, dmvsportsnetwork.com and @_DMV_SN on Twitter. So the Caps, man, they have had quite a couple of weeks, especially since Tom Wilson came back.
Yeah, four straight goals in four straight games.
Yeah, the Caps are atop the Metropolitan Division at 14-7-3, 31 points. That would be good enough for fourth in the Eastern Conference behind Toronto, Buffalo, and Tampa.
They're still first in the Metropolitan, though, right?
Yeah, no, they're first in the Metropolitan, but overall in the Eastern Conference, they are fourth. How would you assess how they've been the last couple of weeks?
Starting to hit the strides.
Yeah. Tom Wilson's had himself. I mean, he's really... I think that him coming back has really helped spark the team. I think that it's given them new life, at least in my opinion.
I would agree. And, he hasn't murdered anyone yet, so.
Right. At least in this amateur person's opinion. You know, that's what I am, an amateur.
Yeah, I mean, at least you call it a puck.
The ball?
Yeah. He whacks the ball.
He whacks the ball into the goalie's net.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Wilson, this year's 8 games played. He's got 6 goals, 6 assists, so 12 points total. The man has just been a man-child. The Caps have won, what is it, 5 straight?
6.
6 straight. Anything else you want to say about the Caps? I mean,
I think they're just moving along right at their expected pace. Brayden, I think since the 13th, has like a 968 save percentage or something like that.
What do you think of Copley? Do you like him?
He's not bad.
Do you think he survives the season? Or do you think they call somebody up?
No, he definitely survives the season, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, good talk.
Well, I don't know. Like
There isn't really much to talk about.
No, it's a regular season. Their
defense is shitty. Needs to get better.
They're winning hockey games. They're just positioning themselves. We've talked about this before. They're positioning themselves for the playoffs. So let's talk about baseball. Buster Olney today said that he talked to executives throughout Major League Baseball, and their best guesses, pretty much almost unanimously, is that Manny ends up in Philly and Bryce ends up back in Washington.
You know why? Because all those executives were like, yeah, we're not signing him. That would be devastating to this franchise.
Well, it depends on the money.
No.
You're just going to keep beating that drum, man.
Well, okay. Well, at $24 million a year, fine. But
he's not signing at $24 million a year. He'd rather sign. He would sign a one-year deal first. Because what's Donaldson making? He just signed 23. So Harper's going to want a one-year deal bigger than that. He's not going to sign a 10-year deal at $24 million a year. He's just not going to.
I'm telling you, if they can sign Corbin.
He came in, yesterday for a meeting?
Pick up a combo of... I'm really hesitant to say LeMahieu just because his numbers in Coors Field are so inflated. He is so bad on the road.
Do you know who he is away from Coors? He's Wilmer Defoe.
Right.
Away from
Coors. Better defensively.
Yeah, but... Well, I don't know. Wilmer's pretty good defensively at second base.
Yeah. I mean...
Here's an idea. How about Jonathan Scope?
Again, besides that 1 year, he hasn't been very good. And he's not a very good second baseman. But yeah, I mean, you could take a flyer on him.
Well, because it looks like Milwaukee's not going to tender him.
Right, because, you could...
Or not offer him a contract through arbitration or whatever it is. I think they're going to make him a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, you could go after Scooter Gennett. I don't know. Like, I am all in on the Nats. If they're able to sign a pitcher or two, get a second baseman, and roll with some form of outfield of Soto, Robles, Eaton,
Michael A.
Yeah, that they're World Series bound next year. Heard it here first. Wow. With Bryce Harper, they are not going to the World Series because you're not going to get another pitcher. They're going to roll out Scherzer, Strauss, Rourke, Ross, Fetty. That's not going to win. You cannot, you're not going to be able to compete with Philadelphia. No,
the Braves made some big moves this week. I mean, I guess they're big moves. They brought Brian McCann back on a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
Two-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a retirement deal, right?
Right, it's 2 years for $4 million. I think it's $2 million a year. And then they got a big deal with Donaldson, 1 year, 23 whatever That's million.
So much money.
It's a lot of money for a guy who's had major injury concerns. But when he's right.
MVP.
Yeah, and imagine him hitting either in front
of. Gold Glove MVP.
Imagine him hitting either in front of or behind Freddie Freeman. That lineup is dangerous.
You have Acuna, Albies,
yeah.
Freeman, and then him.
It's a dangerous top four.
Yeah.
National League is actually pretty stacked one through. They have a bunch of teams that have a good 1-4, 1-5 lineup. I mean, I think you could even, without Bryce, you could throw the Nats into it. If you throw Trey, Soto, Rendon, I'm missing somebody. Robles?
Yeah. You know, I saw an interesting stat.
Or Zimmerman.
This goes to you, to your point, really, in pay Rendon. Pay him now.
Absolutely.
Since 2014, he's total war, according, I think, to Baseball Reference, not Fangraphs. There's a Fangraphs.
Other way around, Fangraphs.
21 to 18.
Over who? Bryce?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure.
He's the most. He's by far the MVP of the Nationals.
Well, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure, and let me see if I can check this. I'm pretty sure that in the last 2 years, he's the most valuable player in all position player in all of the National League, according to FanGraphs.
It could be
more so than Nolan Arenado, more so than Paul Goldschmidt. I think that Rendon, based on, and I think what their WAR takes into account is the park that he plays in.
Right, it does. It's a reduction for Arenado.
Right
now, I mean,
and even in
you
Arizona,
signed Harper, Rendon's gone.
Well, yeah, you can't afford both, and especially because they came out today and said, or I guess there's rumors coming out that the Nationals are prepared to offer Patrick Corbin a 6-year deal. Let's say
at 25,
it's got to be 25. Let's say, argument's sake, you give Corbin 6 for $150. You now have $30 million a year wrapped up in Scherzer, $25 million a year wrapped up in Strauss, and 20. That's, let me do the math real quick. $80 million a year in the top three starters. You can't afford, and at that point, and it does seem like the Nationals are moving along regardless of what Harper does. They're saying, we can't wait for you. We have to build our team. They've done a great job rebuilding their bullpen. Kyle Barraclough was a nice pickup. I like the Trevor Rosenthal deal. They still have Doolittle. So their back three are very strong. I like the young guys like a Wander Suero. But you do still need a second baseman. They signed Kurt Suzuki.
Yeah, I like that.
That was a nice deal. Kind of an under-the-radar
deal.
He's
going to be their second catcher.
Right. I think that was a bad news for Spencer Keyboom,
yeah,
who I think that means he's probably going back down to the minors. The real question was brought up because Wieters was such a favorite among the starters. Do they bring Matt Wieters back on like a $1 million deal?
You could. But, I mean, then you're resigning yourself so you're getting no offense out of your catchers.
Well, Suzuki's been pretty good.
Yeah. But like Wieters, his career's over.
It is
offensively.
I mean, defensively, he's still okay. His arm's not, you know.
I feel like here's my heat map on how I feel about the Nationals. If Bryce comes back, and it's at 10 and 300.
It doesn't even matter yet.
The absurdity of that, with this news coming out that's saying that he's going to end up here. If I was the Nationals, I would literally be like, you know what? We're out. I would just be like, I don't think anybody's in on him. That it wants to pay what Boris wants. And more power to you. Every day that it goes by, my number is going down. I don't want him. But I'm just saying, like, if you bring him back at like 10 at, to 250, which he would never sign.
I think a lot of these rumors, too, that you're seeing...
could be fake news coming from Boris.
Right, like the Mets are interested. The Yankees, behind closed doors, are talking about it. No, they're not. They're not. Nobody, the Yankees especially are not talking about Bryce Harper.
Everybody knows what he is.
But it's not only that.
He's not a top 10 player.
It's not only that. True, he's not. He has the potential to be, but he's not currently.
Yeah, but baseball, historically, is a... paid on what you've done,
right,
not what you're expected to do.
No, you're right. And but like the Mets aren't signing him.
No, Yankees, they're trying to trade Syndergaardner.
Gardner. Rosen it sounds Gardner. Like, but it also I heard a rumor today.
It's Cannell.
They're trying to go after Cano and trying to get the Mariners closer at the same time.
Yeah,
and they're going to trade their top prospect. And people are like, Cano's got 5 years left on his deal.
Well, no, it was the Mariners eating like 80% of the contract.
Doesn't matter, though. The guy can't – there's no DH in the National League. In a couple years, he's going to have to at least be a part-time DH.
I don't know. It's going to be a crazy offseason. I just signed Patrick Corbin, and then I'd feel really confident.
They're not going to sign him. Because you know what?
The Yankees
and Phillies are going to get into a bidding war for Patrick Corbin. And while that's going on, the Nationals, in my opinion, should go under the radar and go get Dallas Keuchel.
Be good.
I like Dallas Keuchel. And then, you know what? I did see today or yesterday that the Indians are more likely to trade Trevor Bauer than Kluber or Carrasco.
But how about that trade that I sent you? The idea of Yan Gomes and Kluber
for
everyone.
Well, it was Carter Keyboom.
Both Keybooms.
Both Keybooms.
They threw in Spencer.
Yeah, and Michael A. Taylor.
Yep.
And Robles.
Yep. No. Robles was not in that trade.
He wasn't?
No.
Oh, okay. I mean, that was...
The centerpiece is Carter.
Oh, that's right. Carter Keyboom.
And then you could throw in Kipnis. bring Jason Kipnis over to play second. Let's just switch teams.
I like how your voice gets really high-pitched when you're making a point. COVID, I'd love to see. I mean, they need one starter, and then you can kind of say to Joe Ross and Eric Fetty, fight it out for the fifth. What did Henderson Alvarez, I think they signed this week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a reclamation project. That's a classic Rizzo signing, a minor league deal, no guarantees.
Right.
Thinking that the Nationals organization can resurrect his career.
It's a Hellickson move.
Right. It's a Hellickson move. It's a Edwin Jackson move from 2012.
Yeah.
It's a Dan Heron move, which didn't work. Although, no, that was like $10 million a year.
Yeah. I'm so all in if they don't re-sign Bryce. I'm going to become a Nats fan.
If
I'm the anti-Randy Quaid if that happens. They're going to sign. You know what's going to happen. DC Sports has this writing on the wall. We're going to be stuck with that douche for 10 years of just subpar baseball, and they're going to be mediocre. They're going to be preseason favorites or up the expectations at 90 wins a year, and they're going to come in at 85 and miss the playoffs every single year. And he's going to flip his hair and talk about how he doesn't eat mozzarella sticks because the guy's the biggest douche in the world. He's the Danica Patrick of baseball.
Let me tell you something. Danica's hot, so...
I think you just called Bryce hot.
No, I said Danica's hot. That's all I said.
That's got really weird.
You compared
You're
Bryce...
You're making me uncomfortable.
You compared Bryce to Danica. I did not. All I said was
overrated
Danica.
Person. Oh. You made it male-female.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you did, because you're like hot.
I mean, am I wrong, though?
You're weird.
Am I wrong?
Weird.
Am I wrong?
Weird. You basically are admitting that you're into Bryce Harper, which explains a lot now.
Ipso
facto. If you had just said that earlier, all these arguments would have stopped.
Ipso facto, I'm into Bryce Harper.
He is the Titanic of the Washington Nationals.
He's the iceberg.
Nope, he's the Titanic.
I'm going to mostly...
The iceberg didn't sink.
I'm going to mostly agree with you. I don't agree with your attacks on Bryce, but the Nationals, I've said this multiple times, re-sign Rendon, go get some pitching, invest your money elsewhere. You already have a top five in the National League outfield without Bryce. It's a pretty damn good outfield. Soto made Bryce in DC irrelevant.
Yeah.
And what's Robles? Before last season, Robles was like the next star. He was... What, the second overall prospect? Still is, I believe. He might have fallen a little bit because of his injury. But that was a contact injury. That wasn't like a...
Right.
Right? So you have a very cheap outfield for the next 4 years. Invest your money elsewhere. Rendon, I still would try to buy out Trey Turner's arbitration and try to tack on two or three more years, get him until he's like 29 or 30. And then, yeah, I mean, go get a second baseman and a catcher. I still want them to go after Grandal.
Yeah.
But I think, does he have a draft pick attached to him?
Old, and no.
Yasmani?
I don't think he does.
But he's old?
Yeah. He's 35.
He's not that old, is he?
Yeah, I believe so.
I mean, I like the Kurt Suzuki deal. And I think Manny probably ends up in New York. I don't think he ends up in Philly. Don't you think? I mean, the Yankees don't really need him. They have a pretty stacked infield to be.
I'm sorry, he's
30. That's what I was going to
say.
Looks
35.
All right. But I think Manny probably ends up in Philly. Or New York.
He's Cuban. He could definitely be 35.
Okay.
Whoa.
Was that guy's name from Atlanta who said that about Juan Soto? Is he 19, though? Is he?
Is Juan Soto Cuban?
He's Dominican.
Right. Cuban players, historically...
Not anymore.
Come here.
Not anymore, though.
And overshoot their age. So, way to make it racist, though. Good work.
Called you. Joe Simpson was his name. Is his name.
Oh, so now he's dead. Good Lord.
Good Lord. You have any final thoughts, Josh, before we wrap this thing up?
I hate talk radio.
Please, talk about what you listened to 5 minutes of Chad Dukes today, who is horrible. Not that we're great, but he's horrible.
I don't understand. Like, I'm telling you, these people are, like, going and marketing to the lowest common denominator. I literally turn on the radio, which I haven't listened to in forever, for this exact reason. I'd rather listen to an audiobook than listen to Chad Dukes talk. The first thing I hear is, well, after they miss the playoffs, everybody's gone from the Redskins front office and coaching staff, right? And it was like two callers of, yep, fire them all. And I'm like, what? What logic does that make? And like Chad's like, that caller knew what he was talking about. Let's go to caller number two. I'm like, you idiot. I get it, right? You brought up a great point. It's 5 hours of you have to fill every day of garbage with idiots calling in. What I would do is I would lose my entire fan base because I would be like, idiot, hang up. Idiot, hang up.
Duke's kind of, when I listened briefly to him, he kind of did that. I mean, he would trash, and
I don't think he does anymore. I think he's just trying to pay the bills.
But not only that, I think he caught a lot of crap from the, they're like, listen, we need these people to listen.
Right.
Listen, we've talked for 51 minutes. We covered the Redskins. We briefly talked about other DC. I can't do any more than that.
Oh, I could. I mean, I could go on an hour diatribe about what I had for lunch and really dissect it.
Yeah.
Like but Grant and Danny doing their lunch special or whatever crap. I mean,
you and I could fill 4 hours. Me just
garbage.
Well, no, but I could just, like, for one day, I could fill 4 hours with you just being devil's advocate to your hatred for Bryce Harper. I could just lob crap at you, and you would just go, no, he is not that. And but we could do it. And then we go, let's go to the phones.
Right. But you and I could sit here and talk intelligently about baseball or football. And if it was my job, I could learn X. I've played basketball enough to understand certain things. I've seen enough hockey. Like, I could have intelligent conversations. None of what's going on is intelligent.
No, the only one who I really liked, and he's not even on the radio anymore, which shows you what they think, how they judge talent. I really liked Kevin Sheehan on 980. I thought that he was level-headed. He was never one of the fire them all, and all that crap. He was like, and now he's got a podcast. But the rest of them, the junkies.
Fat Grant was good.
Grant pre-Danny
was good.
I mean, Danny's garbage.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Well, now he's just, but that's, he's like, he's a mini Danny now.
Yeah, he is. He's just trying to make everything funny. And it's like, no.
Like, he was really good. Yep, exactly.
I liked the Grant Paulson who could dissect the Redskins and give you real facts.
Right.
And not these 30-second package sound bites of, I mean, to say that they're going to fire, where's the analysis? Right? I mean, let's not dig too deep into it, but where's the analysis? The amount of injuries that this team has, the fact that they're still in first place, I mean, it's garbage division, but they've got an above 500 record. Jay Gruden deserves a lot of credit. I mean, I don't disagree. Bruce Allen should have been fired years ago.
He's got his hands in every hole. He's plugging them all.
He really is. I mean,
a lot of orifices are being plugged here.
And let me ask you, I mean, if you're really going to dissect it, and you're talking about fire everybody, who's going to replace Jay Gruden? Who's out there? Nobody. There's no Sean McVay. We had Sean McVay. There's no Sean McVay out there. There's no Andy Reid out there. There's no Sean Payton out there. Who are you going to get? You go get Hugh Jackson. He's won how many games? Three in the last 4 years? Hey, it just...
Now, that would be a good rehire. That would be a good hire if you were fully committed to the rebuild. Just give him the keys. Hey, bud, do your best job.
How many teams in D.C. are committing to the rebuild? If you include, Josh about to break a chair. If you include the Orioles, who are heavy. Listen, the Orioles, by the way, have done a great job rebuilding their front office.
You know what? Another reason why I can't read the news, not to go off on another tangent here, is all I read about is the guy they hired was a former NASA scientist. No.
Mark Elias?
No. Elias? Mark Elias hired someone that worked for him for the Astros. The guy's been in baseball for like 10 years. But the headline is, Orioles sign ex-NASA scientist. I'm like, no, he's actually a baseball guy.
Right.
It's like, get out of here with this shit reporting.
The Orioles, though, they signed a guy who's really good at international scouting. Yeah. And
they have a ton of bonus international money.
Yeah,
bonus. It doesn't matter. I mean, they got to go all in. It depends. You know, they're going to draft, son? I assume Bobby Witt's son. So they'll have a shortstop.
Right.
But you got to hit like three or four times.
Yeah, and then you can do what the Nationals did. I mean, the Nationals went down to the Dominican Republic. They've got Robles, they got Soto. You could throw in, of course, Pedro, the catcher's
Severino.
Thank you.
Wilmer
Defoe.
You got to look at like the Astros as the blueprint, though, right?
Oh,
you
got to
hit with. They hit with Bregman, who, right, by the way, right out of the gate was kind of a bust.
Kind of. Yeah.
Carrera, Springer, right, and then you go out and sign free agents.
McCullers, they hit. McCullers was their draft pick, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But they missed on a couple big ones. Remember, their number one overall pick. What was the kid's name? It was like Apple or something, Mark Apple or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
God, he flamed out. But, never even made it to the majors, I don't think.
Yeah, you're just going to see a wave of ex-major leaguers kids. That was Kevin Apple's kid.
Yeah, that's right. Patrick Mahomes is a former major leaguers kid.
Yeah, Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're just, yeah.
I mean, I agree. It's just, the one thing I've never liked about Redskin coverage in this town is that it's either we're going to the Super Bowl or blow it up. And it's like, you can't, it's such a week-to-week league.
If you don't stay healthy,
right,
your expectations cannot be playoffs.
And it really seems like it's more now than ever that injuries can completely derail a season. Whereas before, it seemed like the backups could fill in more admirably than they do now, but they can't.
And then it's just been, and again, to go back to the Redskins, from what it seems, just deal with way more injuries than everybody else does.
It does. I don't.
Well, except the Eagles this year. The Eagles are very hurt. But
yeah, but I don't know if it's systemic.
It seems systemic.
Like Trent's hurt every year.
Every year. So is Moses.
Moses, the last couple years especially.
So is Chris Thompson.
Yeah. Thompson was what, a broken?
So is Jameson Crowder. Thompson. Yeah, Thompson's a broken rib.
But last year was a tibia?
Yeah.
This is like, so those are broken bones. I mean, that's.
But maybe Trent, they don't drink their milk.
What? Yeah. More milk in the cafeteria in Ashburn. You got to wonder, though, with Trent.
He's just beat to shit.
Really. He's carried this team for so many years. You got to wonder how many years he's going left of being effective. One or two. Yeah. I mean, love the guy.
You think Sheriff sticks around?
I think didn't they extend him?
Oh, I thought he was. I don't know. I could be wrong. I didn't think that had happened yet.
Maybe not. I know they picked up his fifth-year option.
Yeah, they obviously.
Yeah.
What's your rant?
I don't know if I really have one. The Chad Dukes thing really got my heckles up.
I hate those guys.
I just hate these. It's one of the reasons we started this, or I wanted to start this podcast, and you agreed with me, is that I wanted to make something that I wanted to listen to, because I hate the garbage that's out there every year. I just hate it. Every day.
These gosh darn kids. They're Dan Fogelbergs.
They're Dan Fogelbergs. Anyway, I think we're going to wrap it up. We both have the Redskins losing next week.
Yeah.
We will record on Monday of next, or Tuesday of next week, because the game's Monday night. That is obviously work schedule dependent. But we will see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Again, we are affiliated with the DMVSportsNetwork.com. That is DMVSportsNetwork.com. They can be followed on Twitter at DMV_SN. Also, follow us on Twitter. It's About Time DC Sports 1, ITS, About Time DC Sports 1. Give us a follow. Shoot us an email. Whatever you want to do, let us know that we suck, however much or however little you want to.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Hola.
That's hello.
What's the one I'm thinking of? Aloha. That's hello and goodbye. Josh, have a good rest of the week. There's only Friday left, so have a good rest of the week, and we will see you guys on Tuesday.